You know how there are some days, weeks, or even months when you look back and think, where did the time go? How is it already 10 p.m. or Friday or the last day of the month? And maybe on top of this question, where did the time go, you also ask, did I spend my time in a way that mattered? Did I get the right things done? And did I spend my precious time on the things that really matter to me? And if you're like a lot of people, your answer might be, I don't know, or I don't think so. And that's okay. There's no shame or blame here. Because in a day and age where there is so much to do and so many conflicting priorities, it is very easy to end the day, the week, the month, or even the year not knowing where the time went and definitely not feeling like you spent it in the most impactful and important and meaningful way possible. And look, I get it. I am no stranger to this feeling. It's one of the main reasons I started this podcast, Whole Life Organized, because as a health and happiness habits expert, I have worked with thousands of people. I wrote a book on health and happiness habits called The Feel Good Effect and had a podcast by the same name that reached 2 million downloads. And through all this work and speaking and writing and teaching and connecting with thousands and thousands of people, I've seen that perhaps our single biggest challenge, the number one struggle and the biggest mistake that we often make when it comes to health and happiness habits is time. How we manage our time, how we spend our time, how we prioritize our time. Because our days, our weeks, our months, our years, our life is simply made up of time. And how we spend that time is what makes our life. And so you know what? We need better ways to manage it. Ways to manage it that are more focused on health and happiness rather than blatant productivity or just getting more done for the sake of getting more done. And my guess is no one's really taught you how to do this, how to manage your time, your energy, your attention so that you can get the right things done, so that you can incorporate health and happiness, and so that at the end of the day, the week, the month, and the year, you know you spent your time on the things and the people that really matter to you that create a meaningful life. What's more is I think you've probably given a lot of bad advice. Advice that's not grounded in behavioral or neuroscience, but also that's just not grounded in real life. And what I want for you is to feel more connected and in flow and intentional about where your time is going. Hi, I'm Robin Conley Downs. I'm a health and happiness habits expert, and I am here to help you with time management and productivity for good. By the end of this episode, you will have one simple, doable, wildly effective question to ask that will help you prioritize and manage your time so by the end of the day, the week, the month, and the year, you know that how you spent your time mattered. Okay, hi. If you don't know this about me already, I am a research nerd. I started my career in research 20, 25 years ago and have found a way to keep it with me and incorporate it into everything I do since then. And the other thing about me is when I find a topic or a problem in my own life that I'm having trouble solving, I tend to get obsessive about understanding it and then trying to fix it. Now, admittedly, this is a blessing and a curse, but I think overall it has been a positive thing in my life. And while I started my career really focused on specifically habits that promote health and happiness, my obsession has evolved in the last few years. This is due to a number of things, my own life, the specific challenges and problems I've been encountering in my own life, and then also working with literally thousands of people on habits and seeing that, yes, habits are really important. They are the foundation. I will never change my thoughts on that. But when it comes to implementing or putting it into your life, making sure that your days are structured to support your habits and your goals, time and time management is actually more important. And so, like I said, the last few years, I've really shifted what I've been looking at, the research and experimenting in my own life from habits in particular to time management, productivity. I have a lot of feelings, we all do, right, about the word productivity, but just as a placeholder, this whole area of how are we using our time to get the things done that we want? And within that, how are we prioritizing what matters? You hear it all the time, right? Prioritize what matters. If you're not getting what you want done, it's because you're not prioritizing it. Okay, well, how, right? Like, what does that look like in real life? And as I've studied and researched, experimented in my own life in every possible way, in every part of my life, and then worked with clients, I have found this one question, which turns into a whole point of view, a whole perspective on life, can completely change for the better how we prioritize, how we manage our time, and how we make the most important thing the most important thing. And the simple question is, what 20% of my time, attention, and actions are leading to 80% of my results? Yes, I'm talking about Pareto's principle. Yes, I am talking about the 80-20 rule. And when I tell you that the 80-20 rule has changed my life, my work, my time, how I'm able to prioritize, I'm not kidding you. And I don't use that lightly. I know you hear people say like life-changing all the time. This one is it. And if you're around me enough, you'll start to implement, incorporate this into your own life. And so my spouse and my daughter and my best friends, they all start thinking this way. They all start hearing it over and over, 80-20, 80-20, 80-20 about everything. And it becomes a way of thinking that really simplifies and makes prioritization effortless. Now, obviously, when I say effortless, there are some more steps, and nothing in life that's worth it is easy. However, this is a game changer. I also think the 80-20 rule is way underutilized when it comes to time management outside of the workplace, right? So not 80-20 so you can get more done at work, but 80-20 so that you can incorporate health and happiness habits into your life so that you can find meaning in how you're spending your time. To be clear, I did not come up with this idea or this rule. This comes from a person named Vilfredo Pareto, who was born in Italy in 1848. Now, eventually, Pareto became a philosopher and economist, and it's not 100% verified how he originally came up with this principle, but legend has it that one day he noticed that 20% of the pea plants in his garden generated 80% of the healthy pea pod plants. So as the good philosopher economist that he was, he started to think about distribution and uneven distribution. So if you're a gardener, right off the bat, you might think about this principle in your garden and think, oh yeah, I could plant 100 seedlings and 20% of those are going to yield 80% of your harvest. So Pareto ended up taking this idea about distribution, and he looked at wealth and wealth distribution in Italy at the time, and he found that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by 20% of the population. Then he went and looked at production in Italy and found that typically 80% of what was being produced was coming from just 20% of companies. So then he created this beautifully simple rule. 80% of results will come from just 20% of actions. And the amazing thing is as you start to look for this and think about it, how often this holds true. So for example, think about your closet and all of the clothes that you have in your closet hanging and in drawers. And for some people, that's like hundreds and hundreds of items. For some people, it's quite a bit less. But if you imagine that you counted each item in your closet, then think about how many of those items you wear on a regular basis. My guess is it's about 20% or perhaps even less. Or take an example of shoes. Let's say you have 10 pairs of shoes. My guess is you wear two of those pairs 80% of the time, and the other 8 pairs of shoes you wear about 20% of the time. Or think about all the possible roads in your town or city, and then the percentage of those roads that you drive on a regular basis. I was thinking about this one for myself. I mean, I live in a big city, so let's narrow it down to even our local neighborhood or suburb. Still, even within that smaller space, I probably only drive 4 or 5 roads on a regular basis. That's probably like 1% of the total percentage of roads I could be driving. Or count up how many apps you have on your phone, and then count up how many you use once a day. You know, those are your 20% apps that you're using 80% of the time or more. So those are some simple examples in real life of the 80-20 rule in action. But the power of this principle, this rule, this question really comes when you start to ask, if I'm going to spend time on something, am I spending it on what matters most? Or put another way, is this time moving the needle on the goals that I have? Now, admittedly, moving the needle is one of those like business jargony things that I know not everyone loves, but it's the best analogy I can think of when I ask this question, is this action, is this time moving the needle? Because think about driving a car, right? If you're sitting in the car and you're about to press on the accelerator, the speed dial, the speedometer, you know what I'm trying to say. It's all digital now anyway on all new cars. It used to be that it was a dial almost with a needle. And when you pressed on the gas, the needle would move. So if you were at zero when you started, you press on the gas and the needle moves to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. And there's a couple of factors in a car that would move the needle. The primary factor is putting your foot on the gas, adding gas to the engine. It's probably some other smaller factors related to if you're on a hill going downhill or how much wind there is. But the primary way you're moving the needle in a car is putting your foot on the gas. And there's so many other things you're doing while you're in a car, actions that you're taking. But the only one that's related to moving the needle on the car moving forward is your foot on the gas. So that's why I use what is perhaps an overused jargon word, because I think it illustrates the point. Because in a car, I might be talking to someone, listening to the radio, I'm scanning traffic, I'm thinking what I have to do when I get there, I'm thinking about what route to take, if there's traffic, how to avoid it. Out of all these actions, only 20% are leading to the needle moving, to me going forward to where I'm wanting to go. Primary being foot on the gas, and the other ones being thinking about how to get there, monitoring other cars and traffic. The thing with driving, though, is that the 20% is pretty obvious, right? Like, you do not have to go through the practice of figuring out what the 20% is. Your foot's on the gas or it's not. If it's not on the gas and you run out of momentum from that last gas push, you're not going anywhere. It's pretty clear that listening to music in the car is not helping you go forward or get where you want to go. It is decidedly more challenging when it comes to how you're spending your time in real life to make that distinction, to know this was the right thing to spend time on. This mattered. This is my 20%. However, it is possible. It's absolutely something you can learn to do. So when it comes to our lives, the question becomes, how are our time, energy, attention, and habits being spent on the 20% that leads to the 80%, the 20% that is moving the needle? So if you want to stop spending time on all the things and instead spend time on the right things, 80-20 is a solution. Okay, now a few things to keep in mind. While I find 80-20 can really help me cut things out of my life, it can help me say no, it can help me create my to-don't lists. When you first start using it or applying it in your life, it's less about cutting and more about time management. I think the cutting comes after you've been using it, but the management part can come right off the bat. So when you're going through your day and you're thinking about your day, and more specifically how you're spending your time, is how I'm spending my time moving the needles on my goals, on the things I want for my life. And absolutely, the cutting and the organizing and the dropping of things that aren't important will come. But the first is just to start thinking about your time in this way. Second, and probably the most important, is that this is a practice, not a one-time exercise. I can't overstate it, and I'll say it again. This is a way of thinking. This is a philosophy. This is a practice that as you do it will become easier. It'll become second nature, but it will also start to pay off, because the more you ask this question and the more that you manage your time and make changes and you see things being more organized and more calm, and you are getting the things done you want, and you are spending time on the things that matter, this becomes a life philosophy. So the biggest mistake you can make is to treat it as a one-time exercise that you're going to sit down and brainstorm your 80%, your 20%. It just doesn't work like that. It has to be a looking forward and then a looking back and continuing to ask the question without perfection. And the third thing is you might not always love what you find. There are many times when I ask this question, when I engage in this process and this practice, where I find that the 20% is not what I want to hear. The good news is I have a choice. So I can look and say, okay, how I'm spending my time here in the evening, let's say we just talked about evening routines. So I could look at a block of time and say, oh, you know what? I'm sitting here, I'm scrolling social media for 20 minutes. That is not a 20% activity or a way to spend my time or energy, and that's okay. And depending on where you are on the perfectionist scale, this one might be a challenge for you, but we get to decide. So you can decide, yes, I know this is a 20% that leads to 80%, so I'm going to prioritize it. Or this isn't, but I don't care, I'm going to leave it. Or this isn't, but I don't have much control over it, so I'm going to continue doing it. As a practice and a process, the 80-20 rule works really well when you know what your goals are, and then you look back in retrospect and ask the question, is this moving the needle? Did this move the needle? Was this a 20% that yielded 80% of results? This episode is short and sweet on purpose, because it's simple. It's a question that can change your life. It is a practice and a process that will allow you to end your day, your week, your month, your year, knowing that how you spent your time mattered. Now, just because something is simple doesn't mean it's easy, and applying the rule does have its challenges. Of course, I have more resources and episodes to come to make it simple and easy, but I also don't want you to overcomplicate this. Just start asking yourself, what was the 20%? At the end of the day, the week, the month, the year, what was the 20%? At the end of a project, at the end of a set of tasks, you repeat a habit stack, a routine, what was the 20%? And remember, we're not trying to optimize or be so efficient. We're really just trying to attach what we're doing to what we care about, to what matters, to our goals. Now, I'm going to give you a few examples of the 80-20 rule in my own life, professionally and personally. Now, I run a food website. It's called realfoodwholelife.com, and I create healthy recipes that save you time. And unlike a lot of other bloggers, I have a whole other side to my business where I have a coaching practice and a coaching certification, courses, and this podcast. I'm also running two social media accounts, and I have parent responsibilities, spouse responsibilities, taking care of the house responsibilities, taking care of my own self responsibilities. So when I develop a recipe, I need to know that it's going to be a 20% recipe, meaning that that will be one of the 20% of recipes that drive 80% of traffic. And yes, this is absolutely true. When I look at the data for our website, 20% of the 600 recipes are driving 80% of the traffic. And of course, not every recipe could be a 20% recipe. That would undo the whole rule. But the spirit of the question for me when it comes to selecting a recipe to develop, to test, and eventually to put on the website is to be asking that 80-20 question. And this is really where it is an art and a science, because as someone who has now been developing recipes for my website for 10 years, I actually have a pretty good sense of whether it's going to hit or not, whether it's going to be an exciting recipe that people are so excited to make or whether it's not going to be. And then I have the benefit of looking at our website analytics. So I can actually go in and look at how much traffic each type of recipe is bringing in. And by doing that, I can see quite clearly over time the 20%. But this only happens because I'm constantly looking and I'm constantly asking. And early on, when I first started Real Food Whole Life, when I was asking this question, I saw that dump and go slow cooker recipes, so slow cooker recipes that don't require pre-browning, so I'm saving you time on the prep step and then using minimal ingredients and minimal, you know, actual prep beyond the browning, those were 20%. And so guess what? I did more of those and less of the recipes that weren't doing very well. In addition to that, I look at comments on recipes. What are people loving? If somebody's loving a recipe, then I know that that's more likely to be a 20%, and I'm more likely to do another one like that. Side note, leave reviews for what you like. If you love the podcast, leave a review. If you love a recipe, leave a review. Many of us are using that as our information to make these decisions about the 20%, so we'll do more of it. If we don't hear anything, we'll do less of it. And so I apply this to all the parts of my work when it comes to this new podcast. We'll wait a few more episodes and then we'll start to look at download numbers. What episodes are getting the most downloads and how do we expand or do different versions of that same idea? And so it kind of becomes an upward positive spiral where we're looking at what worked, what moved the needle, what gets a response, what gets a download, and we say, okay, let's do more of that. Let's go deeper into that. And then you can start to work in the zone of 20%, where, of course, not every single thing is going to be a home run. You can't make everything work perfectly all the time, but you can create this upward spiral of momentum where you get to that 20% more often. And personally, the same thing applies. I'm always asking this question, always looking back through this lens. So for example, in what I eat in a day or decisions I make around what to eat, my decision diet, deciding once what I'm going to have for breakfast and what I'm going to have for lunch, I am asking, what's the 80-20? And when it comes to breakfast and lunch, for example, I'm asking, how is this connected to how I want to feel? And I go back to how I want to feel with food. You can go back to episode one on the feel good vision and asking those questions. And I've gotten really clear on how it is I want to feel. And that is satisfied, energized, and ease. I don't want to spend a lot of time or a lot of energy or effort on the prep. And that satisfaction part is not just feeling full, but also feeling like mentally satisfied that there was something I enjoyed eating. There was some joy in the process of the food. So knowing what the goal is, knowing how I want to feel, I can ask 80-20 on breakfast, 80-20 on lunch. And one thing that's become really obvious to me in the last year of asking that question is really how much protein matters and how much I need to prioritize protein. And this is an interesting one because it happens to be a trend right now, like high protein and macros is definitely where, as diet cycles go or types of eating go, the macro high protein is definitely happening at the moment. But better or for worse, trends come and go. For me, this one is not a trend. It's just a 80-20, like it's a 20%. When I prioritize protein, when I get 30 grams of protein in a meal, it helps me to get to those goals that I have around feeling energized and satisfied. And when you layer in a decision diet or decide ahead of time, there can be ease around that. Like, how do I get that protein in a way that is full of ease and a way that's satisfying, that tastes good, that makes me feel good later? And one last example on the personal side to just give you the full spectrum of the art and the science, but also the amazing, incredible impact this one question has. And this one is the type or quality of time I am spending with my middle school aged child. So as always, I love to ask this question and use this practice during times of transition. So we've had a couple big transitions in our family over the last year. We've moved houses after 15 years in one place. So I definitely was hyper 80-20 everything after we moved. And then our child started middle school. So she was in the same elementary school, K through five. So that's 6 years. And where I live, middle school is 6, 7, 8. So she started sixth grade. She also started riding the bus and her social life has changed. You know, she's tween, teen, whatever you want to call it. And that part of her life is growing and evolving. And so with her, I don't have that much time with her during the week, especially when you go back and look at the amount of time when she was a toddler and a younger kid in elementary school. Like, these things change and the time, the actual time I have with her is much less in the total amount of the week. And the time we do have is very transactional. So the time we have in the morning is very much get ready for school. Everybody needs to be getting ready. And the time after school is less quality time than it used to be. She gets home much later. There's a lot to unpack physically and metaphorically, emotionally, when you get home from middle school. And that happens around like 4:30, closer to 5. And that's if she doesn't have an extracurricular, a sport, a club, or something else. And then in between that, we're just doing dinner and we're doing homework and some decompression time. So when I was asking the 80-20 question about the time we're spending together, I realized that, you know, a lot of that, that's necessary. All of that, her time at school and then the transactional time, like dinner and chores and homework and putting stuff away. I'm not going to cut those things out. Those are all necessary. But what I realized was missing is connection time. So I started looking for opportunities for some time for us to connect. So it would be a small amount of time. It's not going to be hours. We do not have hours anymore in the week with her. That is just sort of time to connect. But there's probably some small areas that I can focus on that are, even though they're small, they're probably less than 20% of the time I have with her. They're going to make a big difference in that connection piece. So I went into the 80-20 question and I started thinking about it. I realized we didn't have any car time anymore because she's riding the bus. And then if she goes to soccer practice, my spouse Andrew drives her. He's coach. He's an assistant coach. He's not the head coach. So anyway, I just wasn't having that time in the car where we used to actually talk about things. And so I've intentionally layered that in once a week because we were only getting it when I was driving her to her orthodontist appointment. And when I drove her to her orthodontist appointment, I realized, oh, she's telling me all kinds of stuff about school and friends. And I just sit there and listen to her. And I don't tell her how to solve her problems, but I'm listening and I'm connecting and I'm hearing what's going on with her. And that one, it's a half an hour to our orthodontist appointment. It's kind of out there. So it was an hour in the car, but that's only happening every other month. That was a 20% that I wanted to expand. So that's what I did. I've intentionally tried to add an errand into our work week or school week, which is not convenient. And it doesn't even make sense to me sometimes, but I'll do like a Target pickup and I'll bring her with me, even though that's something I could have done at not during rush hour. But that time to go pick up the stuff and come back where I'm just driving, we have music on, we're listening to Taylor Swift, and either we're just listening to the music. Most likely, though, she's telling me something and I'm listening. And then I try to expand upon that and I realize that if we go on a walk and talk, just the two of us, that she'll sometimes tell me interesting things about her life as well. And she's not one to get super excited about going, just the idea of going on a walk. So I sweetened the deal. We stopped by her favorite coffee shop before the walk. We get something that she likes to drink. We share it. And then we go on our walk and talk. And those two small things. So out of our whole week, I don't know how many hours are in a week. Okay, there's 168 hours in a week. I would say our walk and talk and then our errand run are probably at the most 2 hours, and that would count driving time. And so you see here, it wasn't about trying to have unlimited amounts of time. This was not about quantity. This was about quality. It also illustrates the point that it's not about cutting all the time. So I don't have as much control about how she spends her time anymore. I try to let her make some of her own decisions about clubs and sports and friends, but also school and bus are just things that we need to do. So if I know I want to have a meaningful, intentional relationship with her, I don't have a ton of freedom in terms of cutting things out. But what I do have is this one magic question that I can ask is like, what's the 20% action that will yield 80% of the results? And right now, the answer is, you know, a 30 to 40 minute errand run in the car and or a 30 minute walk with a coffee run beforehand. And this is my hope for you. Like, you can work within the schedule and the time that you have and make it more meaningful, more purposeful, and spend time on the right things and not all the things. I would love to hear how you're using the 80-20 rule in your own life. You can connect with me at Whole Life Organized on Instagram. Until next time, I'm here to remind you, you've got time.